You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
The Wire's weekly chat with James Shaw is back, and this week I chatted to the Green Party co-leader about his party's campaign launch, as well as the new settings for the emissions trading scheme and the National Party's transport policy. The Greens launched their campaign for election 2023 with the slogan, "The time is now," and I started by asking James what the party means when they say this.
Well, if you consider all of the people who have been displaced by the flood events in Auckland and Cyclone Gabrielle and Hawke's Bay and Tairawhiti, you know, what we're saying is that the time is now for stronger action on climate change. And if you consider that New Zealand has more species that are at risk of extinction than most other countries in the world, then what we're saying is that the time is now to take action on that. They can't wait a moment longer. And if you consider that there are still 45,000 children living below the material hardship poverty line, then they also cannot wait any longer. You know, so I think that the kind of overall point being that the kind of challenges that we face as a country are urgent, and it is unreasonable to kick the can down the road any longer and to take incremental steps that don't solve the problem.
Yeah, because when I heard the slogan, I immediately thought back to a few weeks ago when Chris Hipkins said now is not the time for a wealth tax. So do you reckon it's fair to interpret this as kind of an expression of frustration towards Labor's habit of playing it safe?
Well, it's more of a kind of a frustration with both Labor and National and the kind of political mainstream of taking small steps and incremental change. The argument that we're making is that small steps haven't solved the problem, and we don't want another generation to have to kind of suffer the burden of slow progress. You know, any time you make a decision to sort of make some progress but not solve the problem, what you're doing is you're actually perpetuating the problem. So this government, for example, has made good progress lifting kids out of poverty. There's about 30,000 children that have been lifted above the material hardship line in the life of the two governments that we've been part of over the last 6 years. That's good. But there are still 45,000 children below that poverty line. And, you know, the Labor government could have made choices that lifted those kids out of poverty, but it chose not to. It chose to do incremental steps and say, well, we'll get to those people in time. But ultimately, you know, our view is those people don't have time.
I also now wanted to chat about the emissions trading scheme. Last week you announced the settings for the ETS for the next 5 years. You took on board a number of the Climate Change Commission's suggestions, including lifting auction prices and reducing the number of available units. What impact will this have on both the effectiveness of the ETS as well as on our climate targets?
Well, I mean, effectiveness and impact on targets is kind of the same thing. At least it is in my world. So you saw what happened immediately after we made that decision. The price of pollution went up quite dramatically. So it kind of went from about $50 up to $65. And that's a good thing, because what it means is that polluting companies are having to pay more to put pollution into the atmosphere. And ultimately, the more expensive it gets for them to do so, the greater the chances are that they're going to decide not to put pollution into the atmosphere and instead to invest in cleaner technologies using renewable energy and so on.
I've seen this described by a few sources as a U-turn. Would you categorise it as that?
Well, it did reverse a decision that was made in December of last year. What happened late last year was the Commission gave us their advice for the next 5 years, and for the most part, Cabinet chose not to follow that advice. That was sort of really at the time when, you know, inflation was running at its hottest, and there were real concerns about, you know, how the carbon price could affect, you know, in particular low-income households, which is a reasonable concern. But the Commission had said, look, let the ETS do its job, price pollution properly, but then just make sure you have other policies in place to support people, you know, where you do have those distributional impacts, where people are feeling those price pinches. And so we've done a lot of work, you know, since then. And ultimately, you know, Cabinet did reverse the decision that it made in December of last year and followed all of the Commission's advice. And that has, I think, restored a level of kind of integrity to the emissions trading scheme.
And how did the ruling from the Lawyers for Climate Action case from the High Court a few weeks back play into all of this?
Well, it was critical. I mean, ultimately, that was a very useful case. So they sought a judicial review of the decision made in December of last year. And Crown Law, who essentially are the government's in-house law firm, looked at the kind of evidence around that decision last year and actually agreed with the Lawyers for Climate Action on a number of points. Not everything, but a number of key points. And so rather than go to court and duke it out in court, we kind of settled with Lawyers for Climate Action, and part of that was to an agreement to remake the previous year's decision.
I wanted to move on now to the National Party's transport plan. The part that's grabbing a lot of headlines is that they want to build 13 new major roads. What was your reaction to this plan?
Well, at one level, it was just sort of a depressing familiarity to it, because it's basically the same thing that they do every single election, which is kind of whatever the question is, the answer is always roads. And the problem, I mean, there's a number of problems with it. One of which is, you know, the obvious thing, that is that if you build more roads, you get more traffic. That means more congestion, but it also means more pollution, and that means it's going to be even harder for us to reduce our impact on climate change. On the one hand, they're saying that they're really committed to the Paris Agreement, they're committed to the Climate Change Commission, they're committed to the Emissions Trading Scheme, and so on and so forth. But then they say, on the other hand, we're just going to, you know, make it almost impossible for us to deliver on those commitments. So that was depressing. The other thing was that their numbers don't add up. You know, they kind of had this wild promise that they were going to build 13 roads for $25 billion. And, you know, that would be probably less than half the actual cost of doing it. And I just thought, for a political party that says that they're all about, you know, the economy and that they're really strong on that kind of thing, the fact that they can't even do kind of basic maths on their numbers, I just thought that they should be held to account for that. But then the other thing was is that the execution of it was just really amateurish. I mean, that, you know, frankly, if the Greens had put out the kind of policy material that they put out, we would be absolutely caned for it in the media. And, you know, they just kind of get away with saying these things without any particular scrutiny.
To be fair to National, however, they have included some busway and rail projects in this plan. Surely that's something you can get behind, that is, as you mentioned, if they can actually afford it.
Yeah, I mean, those projects that they said that they're getting behind are ones that are already kind of underway or you know, in the planning stages anyway. It's just that the impact that will have on congestion and pollution will be absolutely minimal. The thing that they haven't really understood, and they have never understood, is that I know it's counterintuitive, but the idea that you can just add one more lane to a road and that will sort the problem has been proven decade after decade, city after city, country after country, to be completely wrong. You do get a short-term decrease in congestion, but what happens is people go, well, there's more road, there's less congestion, I'll drive my car. And so then what happens is actually you end up with more congestion and more pollution than you started with.
And finally, when can we expect to see a transport plan from you guys, and what kind of focus will it take, if you can tell us anything about that?
Well, it'll be coming as part of our climate change package, because ultimately if you want to solve the climate crisis in this country, transport is the fastest growing area of emissions. Pretty much everything else in terms of the pollution we put into the atmosphere is reducing, but transport is still increasing. And so, you know, we'll be having something to say about that. I obviously can't tell you the kind of detail of that, but it won't surprise you to learn that the principle behind it, which we've been saying, you know, forever, we've been completely consistent about this, is what is the most efficient way to move people and freight across our cities and between our cities? And if you start with that question, what you find is that having more and better transport options, active modes of transport and so on, what that does is it helps to reduce congestion and reduce pollution and have better quality cities and a better quality of life for the people who live in them.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.